I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. All eyes were on a chaotic Washington today. Just before a scheduled vote in the House on repealing the Affordable Care Act, President Donald Trump reportedly asked Speaker Paul Ryan to pull the measure. We'll be looking at the aftermath of all this next week. Check out our ongoing coverage at PRI.org. While most eyes focus on the inner workings of the Beltway, we want to take you outside, starting in Egypt today, where the tumult of the Arab Spring has come full circle with the release from detention of former Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak. Pretty extraordinary, really. For most of his 6 years in jail, Mubarak was on trial for various offenses, including charges related to the killing of 850 protesters during the uprising against his rule in 2011. But the only conviction against him that was allowed to stand was a 3-year sentence for corruption. Columnist Mona El-Tahawi in Cairo was one of those who took to the streets back in 2011. Mona, how do you feel about Mubarak's release today?
Well, I think it's an awful outcome to those 6 years of trial, but also sadly an expected one, because that uprising against Mubarak's 30-year rule wasn't just against Mubarak himself. It was against a regime that still exists. And to expect that same regime, which is military-backed and which has basically ruled Egypt since 1952, to expect that same military-backed regime to treat Mubarak with any sense of accountability is to have expected that regime to have been shaken in the least by the revolution. And sadly, that is not the case.
So in a perfect world, what would you have wanted to see as an outcome?
In a perfect world, I would like to see Mubarak being held accountable for his 30 years of repression, during which he used systematic torture and censorship and all kinds of human rights violations against dissidents. I would like to see him held accountable for the deaths of those 850 revolutionaries during the uprising. And I would like to see his various ministers who benefited from his 30 years of rule and who took part in that repression and in the killing, such as the interior minister, for example. Instead, we have a situation in Egypt right now where more than 60,000 political prisoners are in jail, and Mubarak is walking free, his sons have walked free, and various ministers have walked free. So for those of us for whom the revolution was against a regime and was against the repression of that regime, the revolution very much continues because its goals haven't been achieved.
I mean, I was reading, though, how some Egyptians are now kind of nostalgic for the peace and quiet of Mubarak's reign, despite what may have been happening in his jails. Do you think those same people would go so far as to say they regret the revolution?
There are people who sadly say they regret the revolution, because those are people for whom the status quo worked. Those are people who were not hurt in any way that by the Mubarak regime, and who naively and myopically thought the Mubarak regime would never hurt them. So, for example, I met someone last night whose husband was imprisoned for a while by the current regime. And she told me, frankly, you know, before my husband was sent to jail, I liked the regime. I didn't have any problems with it. You know, I went about my daily business. I had no problem. I only really felt how bad the regime was when my husband went to jail.
Are you concerned about your own security in this environment, Mona?
I'm concerned about everyone's safety, to be honest with you, Marco. And if anything, I'm safer than many people. But obviously, I'm not safe. In November of 2011, Egyptian riot police broke both my arms and sexually assaulted me. And I was detained for 12 hours, during which I was interrogated blindfolded by the military intelligence. I have been smeared regularly by Egyptian media. In February and March, two Egyptian newspapers had a go at me. One of them called me a sex activist, which is basically a code word for slut. Another one called me a liar. And last year, I was among several dissidents and opponents of the Sisi regime who were targeted by a big cyber espionage phishing attempt. So I'm not safe. No, very few people in Egypt are safe. But here's what I have that many people don't have. I have the privilege of talking to you. I have a massive platform on social media. I write a monthly column as a contributor to the New York Times opinion page. And all of that, the so-called fame and platform I have, protects me in a way that it doesn't protect many people. The people I'm most concerned about are young students who are taken at 3 a.m. and disappeared, who are killed, who are imprisoned simply for wanting the right to peacefully protest our military-backed dictatorship. Those I'm much more concerned about than I am, because if something happens to me, you will hear about it and the media will cover it. Thousands of people are being imprisoned in Egypt and we don't know what their names are.
Egyptian columnist Mona El-Tahawi, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Marco.